welcome to episode 167 of Reviews from the Crawl Space. Just stumbling right out of the gate.
Yeah. That's my job.
Yeah, exactly. That's Vicky.
Hi.
I'm Douglas. And welcome to the show. You found us. Yay! We're on all the things there, all the podcasting dealies. I mean, you found us, so we got to be somewhere. So that's always good.
We're lots of somewheres.
We're lots of somewheres. You can check us out on Instagram. And you check us out on Twitter. Instagram is just Reviews from the Crawl Space is one solid word. And Twitter is RFTCS1. Both places, similar things. What we're currently working on, like all the album covers, what we're working on now. All the past episodes. Twitter has a little bit something different. More just like general music stuff and general vinyl stuff. And a little more where Instagram is kind of really specific to what we're doing here, you know, just per episode. So, and because you found us, in case it's the first time you found us, we review three albums from an inherited collection at a time at random. We don't curate it up to this point. We just pull them, whatever three is next, whatever we're doing. And then from there, we do curate a list. And what list is that?
It's RFTCS Radio.
That's right. And where is that on?
Spotify.
Exactly. RFTCS Radio on Spotify. And there, everything that we've done so far, I think we're like 700 songs. Everything that's on that list is, except for maybe like two songs at this point, has been curated from everything that we've covered. So
yeah, we've reviewed over 500 albums.
Yeah. And we pull, you know, generally speaking, we like to pull at least two songs off of an album. I mean, it's not a hard rule because some albums have way more and some have zero.
Yes.
So,
because they just don't
aren't good.
Fit.
Yeah, exactly. They don't fit. Yeah, sometimes it's not even so much they're not good. Sometimes it's just they don't fit.
Yeah.
And we've come across that. We've also come across when we're listening to that list and come across a song where we're like, oh, okay,
this one's got to go.
This does not work on here. So, okay, so what do you have for us today?
Okay, so today we got some more CanCon.
Yeah, of course, CanCon. This is like this lifeblood of this playlist, or this playlist, this collection.
Yeah, in some ways. So the first album up is by a band called Helix, called Long Way to Heaven. The second one is by a fellow named Henry Gross, who I didn't know of his history, so I'm kind of, that's kind of cool.
Okay.
His album, What's in a Name? And the last album up is an EP by the Honey Drippers, called Volume 1. And
there will never be a volume 2.
Never. No. No. And I explain why in the podcast.
I'm just going to assume a lot of murder suicides.
No.
Oh.
Well.
No.
Deaths are involved.
A lot of stabbings. Well,
no.
Gunplay.
Not by any nefarious.
Oh, okay.
No, that's too boring.
Yeah, you're just like taking all of it out of you. You should be selling it. We want to get clicks. We're going to sell it. Yes! Blood!
Yes, Robert Plant.
Whatever.
Hit okay. Mr. Mustard over the head with a mustard stick.
All right, let's get going there. Since I've tried to hype it up and you're not having any of it.
Okay, Helix, Long Way to Heaven. Helix is a Canadian heavy metal band.
No, I'm stopping you right now. Don't you
a
dare.
Canadian rock
there you
and
go.
Heavy metal band.
No heavy metal. Don't. Called they're not metal. These guys, this album is not metal. This is not.
But
no. If this is a metal album, the Henry Gross album is a metal album.
The band formed in 1974 for a Battle of the Bands contest in Kitchener, Ontario.
Here we go, fucking Kitchener again.
During the course of their time together, they have toured with Kiss, Aerosmith, Rush, Motley Crue, Alice Cooper, Whitesnake, and Motorhead, among others.
Some of those bands, metal.
Yeah.
This band, not metal.
Motorhead is
Lemmy.
Lemmy, yeah. All I could see was the mole. Long Way to Heaven was their fifth studio album. The first single was Deep Cuts the Knife. It received heavy airplay in the U.S. and in Canada. It was added to a heavy rotation video play on Much Music.
Mm-hmm. CanCon, baby.
Yeah.
Got to shove it right down that pipeline.
Well, it got them to where they are, I guess. Their first tour to kick off this album was in Sweden, where they became the first Canadian rock band ever to tour that country extensively.
That did let us know. Let the mainstream media let us know.
Yeah.
Good
For
on
this, they achieved their first number one album in that country.
Wow.
Yay. But they did a lot, like they did 14 studio albums.
You rock, eh?
Three.
We see you got beavers too, eh?
Oh my God. Wearing their little toques.
Got our toque.
And apparently their drummer used to dress in a tuxedo at every performance.
Sure.
So they did 14 studio albums, three live albums, and they had 11 compilations. And this album came out in 1985.
85.
Yeah. All right, turn the page. It went to number 29 in Canada as well. The musicians on this album were Brian Vollmer. He was at this time one of the only original members of the band left.
No.
He was a vocalist, lead vocalist. A fellow by the name of Paul Hackman, who sadly was killed in a vehicle accident in Vancouver while they were on tour in
Hackman.
1992. He wasn't wearing his seatbelt, and the van went down a 40-foot embankment,
This is why we wear
which is why we wear our
seatbelts.
seatbelts, yeah. He played guitars and vocals, sang vocals. Brent the Doctor, guitars and vocals. Daryl Gray, bass and vocals. And Greg Fritz Hines, he played drums. Producer on this album was Tom Trumuth, 77 production credits to his name. Aside from Helix, Honeymoon Suite, Chris Spedding, and Big Sugar. Track listing on this album is Side A, The Kids Are All Shaken. It was a single released, it went to number 20. Deep Cuts the Knife, which I've already talked about, was a single.
Yep.
It went to 66, so I don't know how that was the big hit on this
I'm
album.
with you on that one. I don't know.
But that's the one they talk
I
about.
don't know.
Ride the Rocket, Long Way to Heaven, and House on Fire. Side two, Christine, Without You, in brackets it says Jasmine Song. School of Hard Knocks, Don't Touch the Merchandise, and Bangin' Off of the Bricks. Runtime on the album is 36 minutes, 25 seconds. For those Helix fans out there wondering where does this album fall into
Yeah, what the, wow, where does it fall in the mix, baby?
the context is the before album was Walkin' the Rager's Edge, which was fairly successful for them, released in 1984, and the after album was Wild in the Streets, released in 1987.
Well, there you go. So I should just call this next section Why I Hate This Album and This Album Can Go Fuck Itself. I'm actually gonna start with the audio, I think. I've got to find a way to where to somewhere to enter this shit shingle. So the audio right off the top is such a fucking barrier to this absolutely abhorrent generic bullshit music that's really a really adult contemporary with some buzzy guitars. It doesn't break anything more than a fucking mid-tempo. Ooh, it's metal. Go fuck yourself, it's metal. It sounds like it was recorded in a small empty school gym, and then they removed the mids, and then they did this weird kind of compression thing. So you have some really high frequencies, you have some low muddy frequencies, nothing in the middle, and then a fucking ton of reverb. And then when he hits the cymbals in some of the songs, it sounds like they're smashing like fucking glass. It's such an awful sound. I hate this album so much. I fucking hate it. It's stupid. I fucking hate that these guys, using CanCon, these guys were pushed through anywhere and tried to be popular, or tried to be popular at all, because it's such tepid music and it sounds so bad. It actually, besides irritating me, and it actually gave me a headache. And the
No,
more we listened to it, the
you're
more it
not
fucking pissed me
irritated.
off that I had to listen to it. Of all the albums that we've played, man, I don't think I've immediately wanted to smash one harder than this one. It's not even good or bad enough to be a good, bad, like
Yeah.
nostalgic kind of like Grand Theft Auto. It's just fucking garbage.
Yeah, and
The lyrics are garbage. They're playing is fucking kind of shitty.
this is the only album by Helix that I've ever
Fucking
heard.
hate it.
And I wonder how they had so much success.
Because the 80s had some
Like, 'cause they're
shitty
still out there
quote-unquote
doing stuff
metal.
now.
I don't People like terrible music. They really
I
do. This
guess.
whole collection is a testament to that.
The minute you drop the needle on this album, I knew I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I was
I
holding
felt like
out.
one of those cats in the videos we've been watching lately,
Where you start for the gag.
where they gag because they don't like the smell of something.
Well,
That was me.
I was hoping there'd be like one, like I said,
No.
nostalgic cliche song on here to be like, yeah, but no. And the lyrics are so fucking dumb. And actually, at one point, we had a big discussion about whether this was just like a Christian rock album because it
Yes.
was so bad and
Yeah.
like some of the lyric content.
Yeah, I went through quite a bit of stuff to kind of rule out the
Yeah.
Christian aspect of it.
It sounded like the taco shits inside my eardrums. This isn't metal. It's just middle of the road
You have taco shits in your
core. I do
eardrums?
now. I listen to Helix. I gotta go get fucking the hose out now and wash all that shit out of there. Just it's middle of the road corporate rock bullshit. It's meant designed for radio play and MTV play.
Well,
It ha it's like eating a marshmallow peep.
they were.
There's nothing to it. It's just fucking garbage, sugar, and dye. Fucking makeup.
That's funny.
Fucking hate this
They
album.
started out as a bar band.
Well, they finished as a bar
Well, yeah, as far as
band.
I'm concerned, yeah, they're not even a bar band, but there you go.
I can't suggest any of the songs off of here. They're really terrible. Like I said, the musicianship is like okay at best. There's so much
Yeah.
I hate about this production
Well,
of this album. And honestly, even if they had produced it differently and it didn't sound like it was recorded in a shoebox, like maybe it'd be better, but it's just so inaccessible right off the top sonically that it's just my brain and your brain are just like, nope, we're not
yeah,
dealing with it.
there was a lot, like, or even in the early years, there was a lot of personnel changes.
I
And
wonder why.
so,
They
yeah.
got them whittled down to a nice,
So
tepid,
they
soft,
couldn't gel at
safe
all.
radio play here. I know it's fucking
Yeah, I
crap.
think one of the things that I read was like by the end, they decided they were going to do a reunion, but the guy's like, I got the old band together because I was just so sick of playing with strangers.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it
Like
was,
you said, it's just a revolving door, and it just was just one guy who stayed, right?
yeah,
So,
I think the Vollmer guy
Vollmer, yeah.
is the
Oops.
only original member, and he wasn't even the founding guy. The founding guy, I think, was gone in a year.
Yes, you said the first album he was gone, I
Yeah.
think. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've said all I'm gonna say about this album. So, like, it's just the worst we have to offer. It makes other Canadian bands, other CanCon, look less terrible by comparison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Long Way to Heaven. Helix, Capitol Records, catalog ST12411, Canada 1985. This is an original pressing, and I have it listed as rock, not metal, and it's CanCon.
Oh, look how beautiful that cover is. Like, hardly a mark on it.
Oh, it's in great condition. Cover, like we just said, good, very good.
Yeah.
The only spot that keeps it from being a very good is it's just this little bit of wear on the bottom.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's on the borderline of very good, like new.
From being crammed into a crate with.
Yeah, and I have to say, those Lysol wipes really do a good job of restoring some of these covers.
Yeah.
I honestly, and sometimes when I pull them out there, because you don't get to see them necessarily when I pull them out of the
No,
thing,
not you.
some
Hand
of
them
them
to me all cleaned.
are fucking covered, dripping fuzzy mold.
Yeah.
So the fact that I've been able, like, some of these to get clean to look like they are relatively new is kind of amazing, to
Yeah.
tell you the truth. So, yes, these things get sanitized, and not just from a standpoint of cleaning up, because I also don't want to breathe mold every time I'm near it. So,
Yeah.
yeah, and sometimes I'm really surprised at the condition, and here it is. I'm
Yeah,
surprised at my
it's
condition. Yeah, shiny and new.
shiny and new.
Sleeve. Just get my collecting myself here. Trying to calm down a little bit. Yeah,
Calm
I'm calming
yourself.
myself a little bit here. Getting worked up. Sleeve,
Take a deep breath.
plain
We'll turn
plastic.
this into a meditation
Yeah.
podcast.
Helix can't hurt you no more. Vinyl is like new, really. It really is. It's got all the edges. I understand why it's probably been played maybe once. Probably put back in and
I'm
forgotten
surprised
about.
this doesn't have a hole punch, to be honest.
Agreed.
Like, bought at some truck stop bargain bin basement.
Maybe it was
Boom.
something that was like got it from a radio station or something.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, but
Yeah, your
yeah.
dad got these albums, a lot of them in weird places sometimes.
Yeah. Who knows? Oh God, hopefully we didn't go to a show like that. Maybe that's why my brain's trying to block it out.
When your mom was pregnant for you?
No, I don't see mom going to
Oh.
that crap. And besides, this was 1980 something.
Oh
I've
no,
been
you're
alive for
lucky.
a while. Fuck. Long enough to know Helix sucks.
Batu.
The vinyl, like new, and the audio, as discussed, is pure shit. Art direction, design by Heather Brown, and photography by Deborah Samuel. Samuel? Whatever. Heather, Canadian graphic designer, art director. I had this, I thought it was such a weird note to have in her biography, but once married to a good friend of the show in Dean Motter. 51 visual credits, first time on the show. Her other credits include Fred Penner, Glass Tiger, and David Wilcox.
Oh, I love David Wilcox.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I have to say, as another
I'm
one,
surprised there's none of him in
I
there.
agree with that. It's absolutely surprised at
That
that as
just
well.
seems like that's one of
Yeah.
those obscure.
That definitely some weird ones. The ones without the hit on it.
Oh,
That
yeah,
should
I
be in the
love David
collection.
Wilcox. From my years at the Columbia Ice Field, or my year at the Columbia Ice Fields, David Wilcox was on regular play rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm with you. There's a few that are I'm surprised are omitted from this, but that could be just because they were sold off or whatever. But and Deborah, Canadian photog and director, 98 visual credits on the show twice, which really surprised me before with The Blushing Brides Unveiled. Ooh, there's a callback. And The
Yeah.
Parachute Club At the Feet of the Moon, which is a
Ah.
fucking terrible album with a great
With a
cover.
great cover.
Yeah.
And The Blushing Brides too.
Yes,
About the
yeah,
same.
about the same. Great
The
covers, mediocre
album
bands.
wasn't so great, but
Yeah.
the cover was awesome.
Yeah, so there's that. So that's it for me.
All right. I gave it a zero.
You don't have no other information to give us first?
Oh, Discogs. It
Yeah.
gets rated 3.72 out of
I
5
know
with
people.
60 people
I know, and with that rainbow one,
rating.
the one with it we loved,
Yeah,
get way
yeah.
less than I got three or something.
Yeah,
Whatever. And I was
yeah.
also an actual metal album.
Yeah, actual, yeah. Resale value $2.96, $6.85, and $24.11 in good condition.
You can have it for
Which we
20.
could probably.
I'll cut you a deal on 20 if you come get it.
Yeah.
It's all yours. No questions
Take that
asked.
drive out from Kitchener,
Yeah,
Ontario.
if you drive slowly past our front window, I'll throw it in your vehicle.
And that's not, I'm not saying any of our Kitchener, Ontario relatives would love this album or anything,
No,
but
because that's where they're from.
yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Zero. Fuck this album. Fucking burn it. You know what? I don't even know if I want to burn it, because then that means it'll be in the atmosphere, making shitty atmosphere. So you don't just draw and quarter it and bury it somewhere, salt the earth so nothing can
Okay,
grow.
well, I have a new art idea for these albums, so maybe it will be my first
Nothing
victim.
can grow. Build a tower on it or something. Just like, ugh. Okay, moving on.
Take it out of your face. Get the funk out of your face. Get the funk out of your face. Okay, number two, Henry Gross. What's in a name? Henry Gross is an American singer-songwriter. He performed his first show with his band at the age of 13. At age 14, he was playing regularly at local clubs and in the New York or local clubs in the New York area, while spending his summers playing at Catskill Mountains resorts, hotels, and at 18, he became a founding member of the 1950s rock and roll revival band Sha Na Na.
I wonder if back then, when he's back in the day when he was like 15, if he had like, and he's going from place to place, he just has like a guitar and like hobo sack. It's
Maybe.
a stick on a stick, and he's just walking, and it's got like sad Hulk walking away music, and he's got his thumb out. I don't know why, but it seems funny to
Well,
me.
that's a whole little scenario you
Yeah,
got dreamed
it's
up
an empty
differently.
road, and he's just like looking behind.
And I just think about
Hobo
him
sack.
playing at a dirty dancing kind of resort for the summer
like
and
a
all of
swing,
his crazy romantic
a, sw a swingers club, like
at
a
the age of 14,
they're all masked, Eyes Wide Shut
dirty
party.
dancing with Jennifer Grey.
Okay, I see what you mean. I thought you were going for an Eyes Wide Shut thing, but no,
Oh
you meant
no.
dirty. Okay, dirty
He was
dancing.
14.
It's a different time.
True.
Who
You're absolutely
even?
right.
He was playing in bars and pubs and shit, and he's 14. And
13, yeah.
whatever.
13, 14. Okay, so he became a founding member of the 1950s rock and roll revival group Sha Na Na. He went solo in 1970, and he's done a lot of session work over the years.
Yeah, I would say that's mostly what he is a session guy.
Yeah, and he's still, well, yeah, there's a little bit more to that. What's in a Name is his ninth studio album, released in 1981. He's still active today by writing new songs and performing and doing his session work. Producer on this album was a fellow named Bobby Columbi, 129 producing credits to his name. Aside from Henry Gross, he was a producer for David Clayton Thomas, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, The Jacksons, and America, to name a few. Track listing. Side A, That's Someone. Back Into Your Heart. Why Go Falling in Love. Let's Stay Home Tonight. Better Now, We're Friends. And the backup vocals on this were. It's a duet, actually, with Chaka Khan. Side B, How Long Is Forever. Claudette, You're My Ride Home. Captain Ralph and His Rocket Rangers, I Love You Now. Runtime on this album was 33 minutes, 35 seconds.
It didn't seem too long.
No, it didn't. For context, his before album was Love Is the Stuff, released in 1978, and his after album was I Keep On Rockin', released in 1987.
Oh, big gap there.
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah. We must go ahead and start. I started the last one, so what do you think about this one?
I didn't mind this album. I love the cover.
Yeah, the cover's cool. People are wondering, it's an all-white cover, and it's just him on there, and he's spelling out his own name, like using his body.
Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of hymns on there, and it spells out Henry Gross. And what's in
It's
a name?
cute.
It's just
It's
like a
cute.
little tiny,
Yeah.
the title is just this like little tiny thing above his head there. You'd almost not see it.
No, I didn't notice it actually until you pointed it out.
And on the back, it's just like the inverted version of that, where
With a
he's
black cover and
with a,
white.
yeah,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, I like the cover. I didn't mind the album itself. I was surprised the fact that he was in Sha Na Na. I had never heard of him before.
Well,
But
yeah,
yeah.
not intentionally, but
No.
I'm sure that you have heard his stuff before,
Oh,
but
probably. Yeah.
yeah, it's funny for me, first of all, much improved sound quality. Right
Yes,
off the top, I
totally
thought
agree.
the sound quality on this one was actually pretty fantastic.
Yes.
Lots of layers. They used the space of a big wide sound stage. I really enjoyed it, especially compared to the last one. And I
He's got a
will
decent
He's got a
voice.
good voice, good mix. They're all very good players.
Yep.
He's got Cyndi Lauper there on the first song. He's got Chaka Khan later on. I think one or two of the songs is a cover.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think the last one is "I Love You Now" is a Roy Orbison song.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that in any of my journey doing my research, so.
Yeah, it was just, was it on
Usually
Discogs?
Discogs
It
has.
did. I think that's where I saw it. I just said R. Orbison
Oh,
beside
okay.
under the writing credits,
Okay.
because and it's it maybe it wasn't there. Maybe it was somewhere else. Maybe it was on AllMusic, but it doesn't necessarily do that every time, I've noticed, where it
Yeah.
doesn't give proper song credits. But yeah, the solid musician, like I said, yeah. Overall, I would call it meh, because it's like there's a it's in that area where there's already a lot of albums, and all contemporary singer songwriter kind of stuff.
It's not something I would listen to again.
No, it kind of sounds like a little bit like earlier Paul McCartney. It sounds a little bit like actually, we'll say the one song that I will recommend is actually the very first song called "That Someone." That's the one with Cyndi Lauper. Yeah, that's kind of this little poppy, high energy song, but it never really goes any further than that, and it never really goes like it just kind of stays in like a really thin band. So,
Yeah, this wasn't, it wasn't hard to listen to, like
no, it's like
the
okay, you
Helix
heard it.
album
We
and
heard it, and it
multitude of
was.
others that we've listened to, but
Well, there's nothing
there's
that
nothing
stands
outstanding
out.
about it.
Yeah, there's nothing outstanding, but it's nothing. It's an okay album. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not good. So, yeah, I'll do my thing. What's in a name? Henry Gross, Capitol Records, catalog ST12113, Canada, 1981. I'm stealing some of your water again.
It's okay. I'll share.
Okay, thank you. If you do, I'll put it back if you.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Cover's in good condition. Where are the usual places? It's a white album, so actually, it's in really. I think it's actually
Is that a
in.
hole punch?
It does have a hole
Oh,
punch.
sucker.
Yeah, I know. That kind of sucks. And it sucks that it's kind of actually further away from the edges. Yeah, it does have a hole punch, yeah. Sleeve, good. With the original, it's original with printed lyrics. The vinyl is good, except for on the second side, there was one fatal skip. I had to
Right.
get up, and the whole album's fine. It looks fine. It's just this one spot, I think, on the second side, about midway, it just.
Yeah, that's where we decided I was going to give you the broom handle so that
So I could just hit it from.
you could just poke the turntable from where you were
Instead of getting up.
instead of getting up, yeah.
And the audio, we talked about, it's a solid mix, so I'm not going to go through all that again. So it was just a nice break to have a proper sound stage, sound field, and it just not sound like Helix. So it was good. Art direction designed by Roy Kohara, photography by Glenn Covalley. So Roy, American photog, designer, art director, 555 visual credits. He's been on the show with, and I'm telling you right now, I know that I'm missing some. Dr. Hook and Making Love and Music, Carole King's Simple Things, the Steve Miller Band's Book of Dreams, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band's Stranger in Town.
And this is the person who did this cover?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Moon
Okay.
Martin's Moon Martin again, boo! Shots from a Cold Nightmare and Escape from Domination, Rubber City Rebels, Rubber City Rebels, Tina Turner's Private Dancer. And
I
I
remember
said,
a lot of those being really good covers.
yeah, for sure. Oh, no, he does some really solid covers. And like I said, I know that I'm missing some out of that mix. Because when you have that many, just to go through them real quick. And I'm not sure where we were. So, Glenn Covalley, 4 credits. He had this, something for a band called Coalfire, a band called Gonzalez, and a band called Scott Wilk, or an artist called Scott Wilk. But there we go. And that's it for me. I got nothing else to add.
Okay, there's no rating for this album. There's no resale information because they have never sold one on the platform. There's no rating because nobody's rated it. It does say that they have 3 for sale on the platform right now from $2.67. So I gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.5. I know it rounds down to 2 when we put it in there, but yeah, 2 out of 5. It's not bad.
Yeah.
And like you said, I would have, if it was available on Spotify, I would have added a song from this to our playlist. So
Right.
yeah, it wasn't too bad. I wouldn't listen to it as an album again or really seek it out. But if it was some of this shit popped up on a list, I'd be fine with that. So okay, so there we
All
go. Henry
right.
Gross down. Boom. All right,
Okay, last,
last.
and this will be a short one because there's not a lot of
No,
information
it's
out
just
there about it.
surprising.
The Honey Drippers, Volume 1. They were an English rock and roll band in the 1980s. The name was derived from Roosevelt Sykes, an American blues singer known as Honey Dripper. Former Led Zeppelin lead singer Robert Plant formed the group in 1981 to satisfy his longtime goal of having a rock and roll band with a heavy rhythm and blues basis, which I thought that was Led Zeppelin, honestly. The band was composed of fellow Led Zeppelin member Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, a former Yardbird. The band only released one recording, an EP titled The Honey Drippers, Volume 1, in 1984. The album peaked at number 3. The EP was a success, and Plant stated that a full album would be released, but it never was due to the death of producer Ahmet Erdogan. It went platinum in the US, 1 million copies, 3 times platinum in Canada, 300,000 copies, and the producer Ahmet Erdogan, 8 producing credits, mostly just Led Zeppelin stuff and The Honey Drippers.
Yeah.
It was also produced by the Brill Brothers, which consisted of Phil Carson, who I couldn't find really anything about other than he was associated
With.
with Led Zeppelin and other bands,
Yeah.
and Robert Plant.
Also, they're not quite the Glimmer Twins then.
No, what did
The
they call themselves? The Brill.
Brill
The
Brothers.
Brill Brothers.
Brill Brothers, Glimmer Twins. I wonder how many other teams that they had. Oh, there was another. Well, there was another one that was a team. Oh shit, who was that?
Yeah, I
So
don't know.
there are a few musician team producers out
That call
there.
themselves something
So they
other
call, yeah, that
than,
have like a name. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Oh well. Okay.
The track listing is Side A, I Get a Thrill, Sea of Love, I Got a Woman. Side B is Young Boy Blues, Rockin' at Midnight. Runtime 18 minutes and 7 seconds.
Yeah, it's a shorty.
Discogs. Oh, nope, not yet.
pardon me. Let's see here. I'll go with this one. You guys know me. If you've been listening to the show at all, I'm not a fan of 50s music. Kind of hate it. Kind of find it creepy. Mostly because it's for me, my generation has been used in a lot of situations where, I mean, it already inherently sounds creepy, but it's been used in creepy situations. So it really, but I think they did actually kind of a really fucking good job with some of these 50s hits and making them their own, but like they've changed them. They're energetic, fun, up tempo. The mix on this album is like this big bombastic fucking mix. It's got lots of bass. It reminds me, and I know they covered a Phil Spector song, but this really reminds me of the kind of Wall of Sound a little bit,
Yeah.
because Robert Plant's voice is like number one. It's like it takes up all the speakers. It's the front of the sound field, and it sounds fantastic. And I'm glad they did it because he clearly is enjoying himself doing this shit, and it sounds fantastic. And then everything else is behind it, but it's just this huge, big open kind of party stage, and it sounds good when you turn it up loud. So I had done that. There's not a lot of mixes that do, but that one
Yeah,
really.
I totally agree with you. It was like they he was behind, he had a full symphonic orchestra behind him
Yeah,
in certain
they're just
instances.
like yeah, and they're just like let's go. They got
Big
Page,
sound,
they
yeah.
got the guy. You got Jeff Beck, you got Schaefer on the keys, and they're just like let's go and fucking. And it's
R.I.P. Jeff Beck.
it just happened too.
Yeah, last week.
That's what always happens with this. Usually, if we have an album coming up, there's usually something around it
Yeah.
in a week or two that to do with it. So it's pretty weird that way. Yeah, in a short too, it has like I said, it has that wall of sound feel. But yeah, it's just Robert Plant, his voice really, especially in like Sea of Love, which is a huge hit. It really just and the horns and the strings and everything, just yeah. It's weird because, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of 50s music, but they did a good job here, and they're
Yeah.
just like, let's make it huge and big and fun.
Yeah,
So,
it's almost too bad that they didn't get more of it, more of an album out there for people.
yeah, it's kind of weird that it's only like because other kind of 50 songs, and then like these guys, Robert Plant has talked about that he loved that era of music, and it's like, well, I'm sure you guys could have squeezed like two more songs onto this thing, no fucking problem
Yeah.
whatsoever. I'm with you, kind of surprised. And then when the dude died, not was it Jeff Beck or the other guy,
The
the
producer.
producer? Yeah,
Yeah.
once he died, that was they canceled. They were actually talking about doing
Yeah.
a volume two,
Yeah.
which I don't know why they waited 40 years or whatever it is to do it younger.
I think the guy, I think he died in 2008, the producer.
Yes, that killed it. When he
Yeah.
died, that put an
Yeah.
end to it. I mean,
Yeah.
sure, yeah, okay, that was a little bit longer ago, but. I did see
But
in
still, well, Jeff Beck's gone too, but
yeah, it's all
they could still do another
nah,
album
it's
if,
gone, it's
but
gone now, especially with Jeff Beck gone.
yeah, no, it's.
There was one thing where in our research somewhere it had said that this was always Plant's favorite thing that he had done outside of Zeppelin. This was his
Yeah.
favorite thing, and it's funny because I had read that, but we'd also heard that somewhere else before, and I think. Where it was, I've been thinking about this as we're listening to it the second time, is there was a show on Amazon where the dude from AC/DC would go and like interview other rock stars. I don't know if you remember that show. I forget what it was called, but he went to like Robert Plant's place, and they was like he was at the
Oh, right.
fucking
Yeah,
they had a
yeah,
castle and
yeah.
shit, and they would just like hang out with them at their place and like
Yeah.
chill and talk about the times
Yeah.
and all that stuff. Fantastic show, and I love the idea of having an old like one of the old rock star guys do it because then they can get
Well,
in it.
especially now that they're all just dying like
Yeah.
crazy.
And I think I remember in that interview, Plant talked about that. That was one of his favorite things to do,
Yeah.
was this album. And like you said, why is it just 18 minutes then? Like, you could easily squeeze more out of it. So anyways, yeah, it's short. It was a nice surprise. It's definitely probably the best sounding out of three.
Definitely. Yeah.
And just huge, just coming right at you. I
Yeah.
really, and that's, to me, it's one of my favorite parts of that. And then Robert Plant's voice.
Oh, yeah, I love that dude.
So, Volume One, The Honey Drippers, Esperanza Records, Catalog 7902201, Canada 1984. It's original pressing. The condition, the cover's good. It's wear in the usual places. Sleeve, there is none. The vinyl, considering there's no sleeve and it's just raw dogged in there, and probably has been for a long time, the vinyl's actually pretty good condition. It only has a couple of small scuffs and that no scratches. It played good. It sounded good. It was fine. And the audio we've talked about already, I really liked it. I said good, but it's actually better than good. It really helps sell what they're doing. The bad news is, and it's not, and I understand why it doesn't look like they went too much on a limb here for their cover, but there is no cover info to be found
Yeah.
anywhere
Yeah, it's not a
whatsoever.
great cover.
No, considering that you have half a Zeppelin, part of the Yardbirds, fucking, and Paul Schaefer there, and this is what you come up with, is really just like they cut images out of a movie and just stuck them to a fucking black cover, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't dig the color combination either.
No, yeah, this is terrible.
Yellow, green, and red.
It's like someone dumped ketchup, mustard, and relish on it and just like pushed it into the honey dripper shape.
Mustard drippers.
Yeah, mustard drippers. Yeah, it's not honey. Yeah, see, well, how could, yes, okay, the honey drippers, like it's innuendo, it's a wordplay. How could you not have that on the fucking cover? Like one of those things dripping honey down some chick's face or something like that. Like, oh, there's so much you could do with it. Fuck, oh, whatever.
So maybe.
You know what? 0 out of 5. Fuck these guys. Okay, so that's it. So what do you give
Based
it?
on the cover.
Based on the covers, 0 out of 5.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's exactly where it belongs. And what do you, which one are you giving?
Honey
Honey
drippers.
drippers, yes.
Yeah.
It is just, yes. Fucking helix. That's it. Okay, now I'm gonna go figure out how to edit that midsection. Thanks for listening, everybody. Wait. Oh, see, now it's doing it again. Here we go. Here we go. Wild. Anyways, thanks for listening. Later.